learn from today's most innovative brands, and observe how they empower employees, engage consumers, design products, and co-create experiences together. Welcome to the Brand Lab series from AE Marketing Group. Hi everyone, I'm Natalie Piles, and we're thrilled to have you back with us for episode 2 of the Brand Lab series podcast, broadcasting from 1871 Chicago, where each Tuesday we explore today's most innovative brands alongside today's most insightful executives and entrepreneurs. This week, we're back speaking with my colleague, Brian Walker, the founder of the Co-Creation Lab series, on the power of co-creation to engage consumers and grow revenue. And with that being said, let's enter the Brand Lab. So, Brian, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you, Natalie?
Good to talk again. Yeah, it's good to be back. So, I wanted to talk to you about something. I recently read the 2016 IBM CMO study, and it talked about how today's most leading executives are using co-creation more and more. And as someone who founded the Co-Creation Lab series way back in 2013, can you tell our listeners what is co-creation and why should they even care?
Yeah, it's interesting. Co-creation is still kind of an emerging strategy. It isn't quite the buzzword of, say, customer experience and other things I know we've shared and discussed on past shows. But what's interesting about co-creation is it's really quite simple. Co-creation is all about designing products, services, and experiences together with your customers, and in some cases, your non-customers. And brands should care about co-creation because not only does it help with the design process I just mentioned, but it also gives you meaningful insight into the consumers and the market in terms of how to engage them. Co-creation can help strengthen brand loyalty and the customer experiences that your company does provide. It's a great way to get your employees engaged and empowered. And ultimately, I've seen firsthand where co-creation can really help improve companies' bottom line. So there's a lot of great benefits that brands should consider and think about from a co-creation point of view.
Okay. So is this different than user-generated content?
It is. You know, that's become a real hot topic or kind of fad, if you will. And when I speak of co-creation, it's not about how do we curate marketing content. It's not about running a customer promotion or a make-your-own ad contest. I think anyone can do those things, but today's consumers want and expect more. And I think the byproduct of co-creation could be content, but the goal really has to be how do we work together and how do we create new products, new services, and experiences? And I think the other problem with content specifically is there's just so much of it flying around and consumers' attention spans are just too short. And if you don't execute that correctly, I think you'll just find yourself on this constant hamster wheel where you're just spinning and churning and trying to do the same thing over and over and over, and you're going to have very little impact. So co-creation is definitely bigger than content marketing and has to be.
Okay, so I'm thinking about this from a consumer insight point of view. And brands have used some form of research, whether it be focus groups or surveys or other methods for years. So how is this different?
Well, you're absolutely right. They've used some form of research and will continue to use research as they should with some of the changes in the market. But what I think is interesting is a lot of companies are still relying a lot on the legacy styles of research, which I just don't think can keep pace with today's empowered consumers. Many brands are in very hyper-competitive markets that are changing a lot. And you know, if you look at a few examples of traditional research, let's say focus groups, co-creation is about working together to share ideas, test solutions, refine concepts, and then actually create and launch something together. And when you go through that process, every run around the metaphorical table is an equal. There's no hidden mirrors or cameras like so many focus groups have. There's no preconceived agendas. So you're not going in there to try to validate something that you want to do. And it requires the company to truly listen. So I think that's a big difference between a traditional focus group. And then one more, I think, that a lot of companies do with consumers is surveying. And oftentimes, I think that provides very little insight into the realities of today's market. And we just saw recently that SurveyMonkey, which is kind of one of the more leading online survey groups today, announced a number of layoffs and is trying to totally realign its business approach, because I don't think consumers want to be in a sample size. You know, they want more than to just be heard. I think they actually want to participate. And we see this especially with millennial consumers today on our co-creation projects.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet that's a whole new ballgame there.
It definitely is. You know, I think millennials in particular sometimes care less about a product. They get more excited maybe about how it was made. And I think if you can involve them in some of those processes, it really makes them feel empowered. And they just seem to want to be a part of something bigger than just, you know, a research group today. And we see that time and time again.
Yeah, I can see that. So if a listener is thinking about embarking on their own co-creation journey, how should they get started?
So I think you need to look across your organization, and including your customer base, and identify areas where you know you need to either make some improvements, or if you see some things that are going well, how do you build on that to gain some momentum? And I think what's important there is to understand who's impacted by either that challenge or opportunity, and determine a process for how you can partner and work with them to solve. It can be relatively small, it could be relatively large. That's really kind of the beauty of co-creation, is that you can scale it to fit whatever needs you have. We've had brands that have only worked with customers. We've had brands that have wanted to get insight and partner with non-customers. And we've actually had people that kind of have a mix of both. And then to really get the process going, once you've identified where you might want to start, is you need to just go out into the market and you need to find consumers and customers where they are. And you have to ask questions, you have to listen, and that'll start to build some credibility, because ultimately co-creation is a lot about partnership. And I think you yourself being a consumer, you might be a little skeptic of certain companies and certain brands. So I think building that process of listening and vulnerability and credibility is really key to get the process started.
Yeah. Do you remember in 2005 when Oreo had that contest for customers to write their own like jingle? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but I'm quite fond of Oreo cookies. I have a bit of a sweet tooth that I can never seem to kick. And given a couple of Oreos and a glass of milk, I would have a hard time saying no.
Right. Yeah, they're delicious. But this contest was fun, and they got a lot of their, you know, customers involved, and tons of people, of course, sent in a jingle, because I think the prize was like $10,000. But I mean, Oreo is a company that has either used a tactic like that or something else, because they changed the middle flavor of the cream all the time. Are they doing that because of market surveys?
Well, I don't know for sure, but what I do know is a lot of brands, big and small, beyond just delicious cookie brands, are using co-creation. You're seeing it everywhere from BMW to J. Crew to Domino's Pizza to Network Health. So a lot of brands across a lot of industries are using co-creation because, to your point about Oreo, when you can engage your customers and your non-customers, when you can bring them into the process, bring them inside your organization to think of new ideas and change some things, it really creates a huge flux of loyalty. People want to get excited and be able to work together with some of their brands. And I mentioned J. Crew earlier, and I know we're both parents of young kids. One of the things that J. Crew has done in the last couple of years is they've actually hired a four-year-old to come in and help design their children's clothing lines.
A four-year-old?
Yes. yeah. I think she's a bit of a fashionista. I think she's closer to six or seven now because it's been a couple of years. But, you know, what a great way to really try to get at understanding the type of clothes and fashion that a child might want than to have a child actually design those. And it's been a real big success for them. You know, with Domino's Pizza, which I also mentioned, they've been doing some really unique things the last few years around co-creation where they just don't ask consumers to create menu items for them, but you can actually create a pizza that you like and it can be uploaded onto the menu. And then if I say, hey, this Natalie pizza looks really great, I'm going to order that and I'm going to eat that tonight, Domino's will actually pay you, Natalie, a certain slice of the profit for selling your pizza. So it's a cool... Yeah, it's called Pizza Mogul, and it's a really cool way that they're getting you involved in not just, like I said, the menu selection items, but it creates a real incentive for your pizza to perform well, and if it does, you get compensated for that, and it's really a neat thing. And if you look across the whole pizza industry the last couple of years, Domino's is the one that's been having consistently strong sales growth as a result of things like the Pizza Mogul campaign, where so many of the other legacy brands, like say Pizza Hut, are just constantly trying to throw a promotion at consumers and hope that it works. So I think those are just a couple of examples of more traditional brands that I'm sure most people know. I could talk about pizza and fashion and cars all day long, but when you think about how they're using co-creation, it's really an exciting thing. And if I could talk about one more in particular, I would say, you know, Network Health, which is a health insurance company that is relatively small in their market, so they're competing against really large health brands, and they saw co-creation as an opportunity to go out and engage with baby boomers and millennials. And so they went, you know, all over the state of Wisconsin, even in markets that they weren't in, and they talked to hundreds of consumers and said, you know, Natalie, if you were the CEO of a health insurance company, what's a product or service you would create? What would that look like? And will you help us come build that? And so they've been going through co-creation for the last few years. And it's helped them establish a market leadership position. They've designed new products or services and experiences that they never even would have realized without partnering with customers and non-customers. And it's just been a really exciting opportunity to watch as they've evolved through co-creation. So it's definitely an exciting opportunity for brands.
Yeah, those are good ideas. I'm sure our listeners are thinking now how they could implement some of those same strategies. That's definitely interesting. And that basically wraps it up for episode 2 of Brand Lab Series podcast. I'd like to thank you, Brian Walker, for joining us. And before we go, you know I'm going to ask you to share one key piece of advice that you would give to someone looking at co-creation.
Yeah, see, this time I'm prepared for the question. So I would answer it this way, Natalie, and it's a question that I actually get asked a lot by C-level executives that are talking to us about co-creation. And I always tell them, you know, these are the three things that you have to consider. One is, are you willing to be vulnerable? Because if you or your company is going to go out and seek consumer insight in the market, you're going to hear the good, you're going to hear the bad, and yes, you'll probably hear some ugly about your company, about your employees, maybe about your competition or industry. So ask yourself, you know, am I ready to take that hard look in the mirror? And am I willing to put my organization out there knowing I may not like everything that I hear? And I think that that's important. And then to take that just a little further, it's not enough to just hear what the consumers are saying. You have to then really embrace what the market is telling you and then build on that. And the final thing is commitment. If you're going to engage consumers and partner with them, you must follow through and do something. I'm sure in your own experience, you've seen firsthand that there's nothing worse than a company that says one thing and does another, or a brand that makes a promise that they're never going to deliver on. So really, if you're going to look at co-creation, take a hard look in the mirror, ask yourself if you're willing to be vulnerable, are you willing to listen, and are you willing to commit to do something? And I think if you can do that, and you provide some meaningful partnership with consumers and customers, some really great things can happen through co-creation. So that would be my little nugget of advice.
Okay, well, thank you. I want to thank our listeners for joining us in the Brand Lab today, and to invite you back next Tuesday as we continue our journey of today's most innovative brands, as we learn how they empower employees, engage consumers, design products, and co-create experiences together. Until next time. To listen to other Brand Lab Series podcast episodes, visit brandlabseries.com. And if you have any questions or ideas for future Brand Lab Series podcasts, email us at info@brandlabseries.com.